Hey, welcome to Things I Learned Last Night. My name is Jaren. This is Tim. This is a comedy podcast where we laugh a lot. We learn a little. This week's topic is Andre Stander.
Yes. He's a bank robber.
Yeah.
But also a cop. And he...
At the same time.
Yeah. And he kind of solved his crimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the crazy story of how he got started and what his total demise was. Mm-hmm. And so it's definitely a great listen. We're going to have a lot of fun. Also, this weekend, March 8th, I am in Bartlesville, Oklahoma for a youth conference. So if you're a youth, you should go. Or Waynesville, Missouri, March 9th on Saturday. That's for everybody. You can show up to that. And then next weekend, March 15th, I am in Wyckoff, New Jersey. I hope that I'm saying that right.
Wyckoff.
Oh,
I love
Wyckoff. Wyckoff.
I like Wyckoff.
It's Wyckoff
in New Jersey.
Wyckoff. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
But I'm going to be there. So I'll figure that out by the time I show up, I hope. So hope to see you at those. Thank you for checking out our show.
So they start robbing banks together.
Nothing gives you that high.
It's nothing. There's nothing like it.
They're quite like robbing a good bank.
Oh, yeah. I was just joking, man.
I got you.
You really thought I was going to bank rob stuff?
Don't ever grab the back of my hand like that. Don't ever do that to me again.
Things I learned last night.
I'm going to be honest, I've been talking about milk a lot lately.
Of course you
Let's
have.
Start it there. Hey, man.
What's going on?
Have you ever heard of Andre Stander?
Andre Stander. Dude, is a dude who just... Speaking of standers, okay? there's a guy on our street. Did I tell you about him?
Does he stand there?
Yes. Every morning when Reagan goes to work, there's a guy, and I don't know if we can't tell if he's got some kind of, he's like on some kind of drugs or something.
Yeah.
Or if he's like one of those, like, got to get my 30 minutes outside sun time.
Oh, I think you have to.
He's just
about this
on
guy.
The sidewalk, just freaking.
Yeah. Is he blinking like
yes!
that?
Like a psycho.
Yeah, that's drugs, man. That's LA. You live in LA.
And then I saw him, but not in our neighborhood. Our neighborhood is not like that. And then I saw him up on, this is going to make him sound better. I saw him up like where our restaurants and stuff are. I was sitting outside a coffee shop.
Yeah.
And I looked over and I was like, oh yeah, that standing guy. And here comes a fire truck, lights on. And he is standing on the sidewalk going, yeah! And then he might be just doing drugs, man.
Yeah, I think it's drugs. I think it's drugs. Do you remember, though, when you were a kid and just getting so hyped about fire trucks, though?
So amped, dude. Like, and trains?
Yeah, well, you still get hyped about trains. You got a weird train thing.
Yeah. I got a weird train thing.
Hey, Alex, when does this episode come out?
Why are you asking me like I know the schedule that well?
You got the spreadsheet. This comes out on the March 5th.
March 5th.
Okay, good to know. Anyways, no, that's not him. I mean, honestly, though, could be. But, wait, hold on. How old did you say he is?
He's like probably later 30s.
I know. Yeah,
early
40s. It could be his son.
Cool.
Andre Stander was born in 1946 in South Africa. He was a child of a police officer and grew up I don't know what the term is for this, but just kind of grew up like as an aspiring police officer, wanted to get into law enforcement and try his hand at
copping. Because his dad was a police officer? Did you say copping?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that the term?
I don't know.
And so he graduated high school and went straight into this like career. And went through the academy and like passed with flying colors. Totally nothing to do with the fact that
his dad was the principal of the academy.
Yeah, he's the principal policeman.
Yeah.
So he graduates with flying colors, gets into the force, and by 26 he already makes captain. And so, like, he is like, he's like flying through this career, like, whatever. He's 26
year old captain. Imagine that you're like 34.
You've been working in the force for years.
Yeah. And then that twerp comes in. And you've known him for a while.
Because he was the old captain's son.
Yeah. When you were 21,
Yeah.
He was, how old is he? 8 years yeah. old difference. Yeah. So he was 13.
Yeah. And he's like running around the precinct.
As 13 year olds do.
Eating all the donuts, playing darts. They've got darts in precincts.
Yeah. He was like the kid who would like hang out with his youth pastor and be like, being a youth pastor is cool because you do nothing. And the youth pastor's like,
no, yeah, we do stuff though. We do stuff though.
And he's like, it seems like you just go to Domino's a lot.
Seems like all you do is buy a lot of pizzas. Speaking of buying pizzas, did you see my message in the Discord yesterday?
No.
I sent the video in the Discord of the so what, the pizza calculation.
I came across that.
I got weirdly nostalgic yesterday. Yesterday I was like looking at all our stats in YouTube, trying to like figure out some trends and stuff.
Sure.
And it took me back to the beginning. And so I was like watching like our old tour updates.
Yeah.
And I was like tearing up. I was like, gosh, we need a tour again.
I've been doing it.
I know. I don't know, man. It did like. Yeah, I got like very nostalgic.
Well, it's a good thing we've got a live show coming up.
Oh, shoot.
In May 18th at Silver Dollar City.
Oh, so excited for this.
So, you know, tickets are on sale now.
Tickets are on sale
By the time you're listening, tickets are on sale. Listening. At the time of recording, we're in the past right now. Yeah. We don't have a ticket link yet, so I can't tell you where to go.
But
if you text Tillin to 66866, it'll bet you'll find it. Yeah.
It'll be on our website too, and probably
in the description of this episode.
It'll be somewhere you can find easily.
Yeah,
but it's gonna be fun. We're gonna ride roller coasters.
We're gonna do
some
old school marketing for this thing too. We're gonna send out some flyers. Yep. We're gonna get some billboards, maybe.
Yeah, there's gonna be
bus stops.
There's gonna be a guy that shows up at your door with a bunch of Tupperware, but he's not selling the Tupperware.
He's not selling it.
That's pretty funny.
Unless you really convince him. The days of the salesmen are over. The days of the buyer men are here. All right. And that's where you got to convince that guy to sell you. Wait, what if you went to a car lot and you had to convince that guy to sell you a car? And he's like, I don't want to sell it to you, man. But think about it. What if
you didn't have this anymore?
But I mean, I could take it off your hands. I could drive this home today. He's like,
I just got to do a credit check on you and then I can take it off your hands.
I won't even ask my wife.
What should we do that though? Should we start like a door to door buyer man company and they go door to door and try to buy your stuff?
You go door to door and you go, hey, there's nothing you could do to get me to sell you this Tupperware. Hi. There's nothing you could do to get me to sell you this excess energy drink. Don't even try.
It's the stare. It's the long stare. It's the eye contact. When's the last time you answered the door, though? Like, let's be real. Like, when's the last time you actually answered
the door? That homeless lady knocked on my door a couple weeks ago.
You didn't answer, though.
I did answer. Well, Reagan answered. Okay, I was brushing my teeth. Did I tell this on the podcast?
I don't know. Alex, has he told this on the podcast?
I think so, or it might have been in one of the
episodes. I brushed my teeth, and she was like, hey, there's a homeless person at our door. And I was like, ha, ha, ha. Then I went down there. There it was.
Yeah.
So I answered the door then.
Yeah, she's looking for a place to stay.
Alex just answered his door.
Hey, Alex. Haven't seen you in a while.
Opened the closet door slowly and creepily, and then was just like...
expected us not to acknowledge him.
He made a creak noise and everything. Yeah. Like,
I didn't know he could open that door. I'm going to be honest with you. I thought it was locked from the outside.
Anyway, let's get to the episode.
Andre Stander. So he excelled through the police force really quickly. He's doing it. He became a captain by 26, and then he actually graduated into becoming a detective.
The Byerman bit's really funny.
That is pretty good. Now he became a detective.
Okay.
And so he starts, you know, detecting crimes. There's a crime afoot.
There's some crime happening.
So he's been a detective. But then in 1977, something happened. And he recounts later in his career what happened. And the storyline, I don't know if I buy it. But let me tell you what happened. We can come back to why his motivation. Okay. But so in 1977, he drives into work, normal shift as a detective.
Is there a specific day?
I don't have a specific date.
Okay.
But it's 1977, drives into work, normal work day, detecting some crime, you know. Clocks out for his lunch break, goes down. He lives in Johannesburg. Is it Johannesburg or Johannesburg?
It's Johannesburg.
Johannesburg. Is that right?
I don't know. I just said it really confident.
So he goes to Johannesburg. International Airport over his lunch break. This is the 70s. So he's able to just hop on a flight to Durban.
On lunch?
Over his lunch break.
Okay.
Flies to Durban, which is in the next city, like next major city over.
Johannesburg.
Johannesburg?
Yes.
That's what I Johannesburg. Goes to Durban, which is like the next city over. And so it's like a short flight, like a half hour flight.
Okay.
Goes over to Durban, lands, gets out, rents a car, goes to a nearby bank, robs it. But like, this isn't a crazy robbery. This is
he went in. He's like, there's nothing you can do to get me to take this money. Don't try to talk me into it.
I'm not gonna.
Don't try to talk me into it. I said, don't even rob try. This bank.
Oh, hey, you committed to this bit. Did you get some tattoos just for the joke?
Oh yeah. Sorry.
Wait, is this the shirt?
Oh, you didn't know I did that part.
You've been calling me out for my shirt all day. You've got the exact same shirt.
Oh, I went to Target and bought the exact same shirt. We got lunch together. I said, that's a stupid shirt. And then I drove to Target and I bought that shirt.
That's hilarious. That shirt, I mean, it's not the exact same. It's close.
It's pretty dumb.
Mine's higher quality. Mine's from Amazon. Mine's an Amazon Basics.
Whoa.
But yeah, Jaren's got like two full sleeves. If you're listening, you should look it up. He looks pretty good with them. I like them.
Yeah, they're new.
Yeah, they're fresh. Yeah, he's living a different lifestyle now.
Yeah, I just thought I'm done talking to my parents. How do I get my mom to quit calling me?
Yeah, those look good. You should do them. I really like them. I've been telling them all day. Like, I've been complimenting them a lot.
I got a clock on this arm just in case, and another one right here just in case.
Just in case he forgets how time works.
Forget how clocks are.
Yeah, I haven't seen a clock in a while. You got a compass here, too?
So I look like a bank robber. Oh, I do have a compass.
Yeah.
So I can always tell that this is east.
What does it say? I can always like, tell.
Dude, I'm lost in the woods, going off a compass tattooed on my arm.
Oh, don't worry, I got a compass tattoo.
Did you ask what it says?
Yeah, what does it say?
Oh, it says in loving memory, Tim Stone, 1994-2048.
No, it doesn't.
It says, I put 2048 on it. What if I did get a tattoo? What if like I get a memorial tattoo?
It's like, yeah, for I'm just expecting. But this is the year you die.
Oh, bro. This is the tattoo I will get. I will 100% get Tim Stone, 1994-20.
Oh, so that way,
oh, what's that tattoo? I'm like, I'm going to finish it when he dies.
That is insane.
I'm going to finish it when I finally kill him.
I've been trying.
Jeez.
No, yeah, keep the tattoos. It looks good. I really like it. I'm not kidding.
I look like a bank robber.
I think you need a gold Apple Watch surround.
If they had that at Target, I would have got it. Thank you for changing.
I don't have it on.
I know. I shamed you out of it.
No, I still do it. I switch it out. I swap it every once in a while and do different ones.
You wore an outfit that would be greatly accessorized by a gold watch today.
I actually did today mean to put the gold watch on, and I forgot when I left.
All right. Well.
So it was kind of sad.
So I have a full sleeve of tattoos.
Yeah. So he walks.
People treat you different.
Yeah, they do, don't they?
Yeah.
You get sold a lot more excess.
I went to CVS and I felt the lady at the counter watching me the whole time.
No, you didn't.
Mm-hmm. I went and she was like, like I was going to steal stuff.
Was it this CVS?
In North Kansas City?
Oh, no. I was talking about the downtown? CVS down here.
No,
the CVS
down here,
they watch everybody.
Oh.
Yeah. The CVS down here, you have an escort that walks you around the building with you.
Oh. So, he robs a bank.
Yeah, but this isn't like, don't picture like bank robbery. Picture like, so like he walks in, before he goes in, he puts on a fake mustache and a wig. I actually do have a shot of this is his normal disguise. He wore this whenever he needed to be disguised. And so the fake mustache
he needed to
and
be
a
disguised.
Big curly wig.
All right, so he looks like Hyde from that 70s show.
Yeah, and then these big, like big glasses.
Sure.
And he walked up to the counter, and he just said, I'm robbing you, and flashed his gun, and just was like, hand over, I don't know,
As much as you want.
As much as you want.
Hey, I'm robbing you.
Yeah.
It's super casual.
Yeah, not like a crazy thing.
Hey, don't worry. We're all good here.
Yeah.
But I am robbing you right now.
But I am robbing you if you could hand over, I don't know.
Whatever
like
you
4
want.
Or 5 grand.
Sure.
Like nothing crazy.
I don't need the whole bank.
I don't.
That's
need
where
the,
a lot of robbers go wrong. They come in and they ask for all the money.
Yeah,
put all the money in here. I go, and no. Just
put some of the money.
You know what? Maybe you don't have all the money to give. You know, I just want you to put as much as what's on your heart in this bag right now.
Yeah, that's what happened. That's exactly what happened.
Okay.
Nobody else in the bank knew they were being robbed. Nobody, like none of the...
Just the clerk was like...
Just that one clerk. Right. He actually shook the hand of the security guard on his way out. Because he's like, hey.
Fellow police officer.
Yeah.
Did he have his badge?
He didn't have his badge. But
you could tell.
But yeah, you can smell it.
All right.
You smell like police.
You smell like a narc.
And then like, and the person behind him right after like walked up and made their bank robbery.
Person behind him walked up and was like, I want what he had.
Whatever he did, I'm doing the same
thing.
I
saw how much you gave him.
So he gets in his rental, drives back to the airport, drops his car off and flies back to Johannesburg and goes back, clocks back in and finishes up his day as a detective. No one knew.
No one knew. And then he, at his detective job, they're like, hey, boys, because, you know, sexism. Hey, boys.
It's the 70s, yeah.
There's a robbery that took place. And he's like, I'll take lead on that one.
So it's funny you should say that. So this went surprisingly well for him. So he started on occasion, once or twice a month, flying out to Durban over his lunch break and robbing a bank.
The same bank?
A different bank. Just random banks throughout Durban.
Became a usual.
Yeah. And then he got confident. And he's like, I don't need to fly. And so he starts doing local banks over his lunch break. And you're right. He would come back from his lunch break and then he would go respond to the call and he would do the investigation.
What do you would you describe what the robbery looked like? I'm not too sure. Could you put on this fake mustache real quick?
Yeah. Like picture you, but with a mustache and curly
hair. This person's no help. They're describing
delirious.
Whoever's in front of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
They
would
have no
do
memory.
They have no memory. No recollection.
You know, there's some people who, like, can you picture an apple in your head right now? Like,
yes.
Can you just picture a full apple?
Yes.
Did you know some people can't do that, Grub?
Yeah. Yeah. We call those dumbs.
We call them dumbs. When you're listening, this is a real thing I'm wondering for listeners. Are you picturing us talking right now? Like, are you. You know what I'm talking about? When you listen to podcasts, do you envision the person?
That's actually really interesting. I would say if I know what they look like, yes, I do. If I don't know what they look like, then I don't do that, actually.
Even if I know what they look like.
If I don't know what they look like, I picture what they're talking about. But if I know what they look like, I picture them sitting in a room talking, like sitting in whatever their set looks like talking.
If I don't know what they look like, I AI create an image in my head.
Tell me, like, what's the prompt?
It's podcast hosted by Grimace from McDonald's. And I just make it. You've been wild. The first time I actually saw a picture of Joe Rogan.
Yeah, you were like, this is nothing like what I thought.
Whoa.
We need to put Grimace in the thumbnail, and it doesn't connect at all.
As us.
Hey, what if... Hey.
You know, do a little thumbnail shot.
Yeah,
I'm not going to use that.
Damn day, I hate you. Idiot. Make us purple.
I just like that you do what I tell you to do.
I'm compliant.
So he gets a call.
He's like,
all right, bank's been robbed in town.
Yeah, he goes and he does the investigation. And this system works great for him.
Okay.
For 3 years, he consistently...
On his lunch breaks, just...
Yeah.
Hey, you want to grab lunch today?
I'm meeting with my pastor.
Plans.
I got lunch with the, you know, there was a guy from my church and I just need to check on his walk.
No, I'm building a house for the homeless. I'm doing a good thing.
Hang out. I can't do that. Hey, thanks for checking out our show. If you like it and you want to support, be a part of what we're doing here, you can do that by becoming a patron. What happens there is you get to be in the community. We have a Discord with our hosted producers. We have a lot of fun. We're super active in there every day. You get access to ad-free content a week before everybody else. And we have a Zoom every month with our patrons. We hang out, we eat pizza, we get to know you a little bit better. It's a blast. And there's a ton of other different benefits like merch discounts, birthday messages, things like that that are super cool. If you want to be in that, you can just text Tillin to 66866 and that'll get you right in there. If not, we're just super glad that you're here and thanks for watching our show. This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. This time of year is interesting because everybody's kind of coming out of their winter hibernation and wanting to go do stuff. And if you're anything like me, that's not great. Not because you don't like your family or you don't like your friends or anything like that, but because your social battery drains pretty easily and you need more time to recharge than a lot of other people in your life. Last summer, I was not great at this. I let myself do way too much and I got really, really drained and it was a rough experience all around. Luckily, I've got a therapist who does a great job helping me set my boundaries and keeping me accountable to my boundaries, especially in areas like this. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's completely online, it's flexible, it's convenient, and it fits literally any schedule. It's really easy to sign up. All you got to do is fill out a brief questionnaire, and you'll get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Tillin today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Tillin, TILLN. Thanks again to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode. So he's, you know, going around robbing banks and stuff for about 3 years. And then he never steals a lot. Like, he's just kind of doubling his salary doing this. It's really like a side hustle. Like, he is making a couple grand a month doing this. Okay. Over the course of 3 years, he pulls in 150 grand in 77.
That's a lot.
Yeah, it's good money. But that's not USD. That's Rand, whatever their money is.
Sure.
And so it's really, he's just doubling his salary, essentially, is what's happening. And so he's able to fly under the radar. What did him in was one day he was out shooting pool with one of his buddies and things are going well. And he's like, I wonder if we could kind of like expand this a little bit. And so he asks his buddy, he's like, what do you think about like bank robbery? Like, have you ever thought about like getting into that?
His police officer buddy?
No, I don't think it was a police officer buddy.
Hey man, what do you think about crime?
Have you ever thought about crime?
If we're being honest.
yeah, have you?
We have talked about crime. Us crimin'.
I don't think we've ever talked about crimin'.
Yeah.
On the podcast?
Yeah. Wow.
What crimes?
We talked about scamming kind of people all the time. We talked
scam
about
scam isn't crimes. Scam is business.
See? You better hold that opinion all the way through court, man.
Oh, that's just a business. That's not a crime.
Sure.
Yeah.
God told me. Did you see that guy, that pastor and his wife who got in trouble for their crypto scam?
No.
And he goes, God instructed us to open the opportunity for people to buy into a crypto that there was no way out of that investment. And the allegation is that we pocketed $1.3 million. I can confirm that allegation is true. But, you know, he just does this whole video about where he's like, I mean, yeah, we pocketed $1.3 million, but God told us to move into this house and told us, he was like, he laid this renovation on our heart.
Yikes.
Yeah, we'll find the video and we'll do like a reaction to it or something.
Yeah, let's do that. That's crazy. So yeah, so he tells his friend and he tries to get his friend in on the bank robbery with him. And his friend's like, no, I don't know.
I don't think we should do
that.
That's
something like I want to do.
We should just mow yards.
And he was like, oh yeah, I was
joking.
I was just joking, man. I wasn't serious. Like it was just a joke.
I got you.
You really thought I was going to bank rob stuff. And so his friend called the police and was like, hey, you should check on that. Like that's a little sketchy. And so the police knew the nature of the request. He didn't just say like, you want to get on some bank robber. He says, sometimes I take flights to different cities and rob banks. And he's like, I got a disguise.
He just spilled it all to him.
Yeah. He's like, I got a disguise in my car and I leave it and I park at the police or at the airport and I fly to
like
a new city.
Like a villain in a Pixar movie laying out his whole plan.
Yeah. Yeah. And so he tells the police and the police are like, that's weird. And so they stake out the airport and they put some people out there. And sure enough, that weekend he comes out and pulls
with
up
his little
and puts on his disguise
mustache and his
car. And then walks into the airport disguised. And this was, we should note too, this is the 70s. So like you could just carry a gun into a plane.
Oh,
there's
yeah.
no like metal detectors.
That actually was, I was ID in Nashville you. Yesterday.
Yeah.
And the airport has a pre-recorded message.
Oh, yeah.
That's like, please check your carry-on luggage for forgotten firearms. And I was like, that doesn't happen everywhere. That's Tennessee firearms. And Texas.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That's it.
Maine, maybe.
No.
Maine's got a lot of guns.
Yeah, but they're more cautious with them.
That's fair. And so they see him pull up, put on his mustache, put on his wig, check his gun, and then get out of his car, walk into the airport, no bags, no luggage, and flies. And so they just wait for him to return because they're like, he'll be back in a couple hours. And so he goes and he robs some bank in some other city, comes back. And when he gets back, the police...
He's got a bag.
He's got an envelope because he's only taking a couple grand. And so the police approach him and they're like, hey, what do you got in there? And like,
what do you got in there?
Can you account for that? And he can't account for it. So they take him in on suspicion. And they end up being like, yeah, there's like 30 bank robberies. We're able to link to you now because we know
you're doing this.
Yeah, we know you're doing this. So he goes to court and in court...
this isn't the exciting part. You brushed through a lot of this really quick.
Yeah, this isn't the exciting part. So he goes to court.
Okay.
He goes to court, and in court, they ask him, he's making his defense, right?
Sure.
And his lawyers try to paint it as if like the system is the reason why he became a criminal. And so his defense is that this is South Africa during the apartheid era, and he was so disgusted with the apartheid that he wanted to rebel against the system and like
okay.
show him... Like, I don't know, hit him where it hurt in the banks.
Yeah.
But he only stole a couple grand and he's making money off of it. There's a lot of holes in the argument. And the jury agreed. They sentenced him to 75 years in prison, which seems like a pretty steep sentence, all things considered. And this was a pretty significant situation because he was a cop. Going to prison during apartheid era. And so he was going in there with like a pretty big target on his back. Luckily for him, he was the 75 years was multiple sentences that he could take concurrently. So there was only actually 17 years was his real time that he was facing.
Oh, okay.
Still pretty large charge for
sure.
Nobody ever got hurt in his robberies. He only took a couple grand at a time. And he solved most of them.
But like, how, like, he didn't saw how.
Oh, well, the people that he put
was
in prison.
Was he framing somebody? Was he framing
anybody?
No,
he never
people?
Framed anybody. Like, he closed them as cold cases.
Basically. Oh.
He would do the research and whatever. And
yeah, like, sorry. Tell that bank's parents. Can't. I don't know who robbed it.
And so he goes to prison. He goes to Zonderwater Prison. It's a prison that's underwater.
Yeah, I got it. Yeah.
Which, sidebar, you in what episode was it? Lobster War?
Yeah.
Very convincing underwater sounds.
Oh, thank you.
I'm like, heard that and I was like, dang, that was really good. Like, yeah. Have you ever thought about a career?
I actually reached out to America's Got Talent on that. You know, I had a call with him last week and I said, hey, I can do underwater sounds. I cracked under pressure though, to be honest. She was like, we'll do it for the call. And I was like, I'm underwater. You know, it is.
I'm a guy underwater.
Gosh, I've thought about it every freaking day, underwater. Tim. And I was like, that was close.
And they were like, please don't ever call this number again. I like the idea that
there's an AGT hotline
number you can call. And they just make you do the talent over the phone, like on a landline.
It's wild how those ventriloquists got on the show, dude. Because it's all audio. And they get on stage. And then it's like, you know?
Yeah, because they're like, we need to watch them. You got to watch a ventriloquist.
Everyone, close your eyes.
I do better when you can't see me.
I do ventriloquism for blind people. It's
just traveling the country
doing. Dude, it's like, I'm so good. It's almost like that guy who had a goose that didn't have feet, but then he still took him to like disability conferences.
You can do it too.
If my goose can walk, you probably can't.
If my puppet can talk, you can see.
You can see. Isn't that so insulting? It's like, oh man, this is my underwater puppet. See, he's better at it. That was the ventriloquist. Yeah, so in order to do it, I have to do an impression of the ventriloquist doing his underwater puppet.
I can do an underwater voice, but it's pretty convoluted.
It's the pressure.
Yeah, there's a lot of pressure underwater too. It helps like to feel that pressure. It's over here actually drowning. All right. No, he went to Zonderwater Prison, which this was a castle granted to a king.
Oh, there's a picture.
And it was an island at the time, but they, I don't know, it was a land island, I think, when they gave it to
them. I don't know, dude, because this came from the Tycho episode, too. Do you think they just called islands?
Oh, yeah. I was making this whole thing up. Then? That's not true. That was a callback to the Tycho episode.
Oh.
No, yeah, this is the prison that they were at. So it's a pretty prison-y prison. I wanted you to see this because of what happens next. So while he's in prison, he's a friendly guy. He makes some friends with a guy named Alan Hale and Lee McCall. And Lee and Alan had something in common with Stander. They liked robbing banks. They were all in on bank robbery charges. But they were bank robbers. Like... Andre Stander.
Like, go in, guns a-blazing, we're taking all the cash, give us the safe, bank robbers.
Andre Stander was hey, I got a gun, give me a few grand. These guys were, I got a gun, give me all the money in the safe, or this person over here dies. They were, like, serious bank robbers, right?
Right.
So they became friends, because they were like, yeah, we like bank robbery. You like bank robbery? And they're like, yeah. They're like, tell him how many hostages you've taken. He's like, oh, so many hostages. And so they bonded over his lies.
Did he really lie to him? He was like, I took a lot of hostages.
I don't know any stories from
the beginning
inside.
Of the movie Dark Knight is based on me. They're like, what movie? He's like, no, it comes out
I've got a tattoo. I got a tattoo that I'm going to
finish when the movie comes out.
When It Rises. Sorry, that's the movie title.
My cousin got her kid's birthdays tattooed on her arm.
Like the year?
Yeah, like the full date. Like it says like
just the date though.
It says name. and then it says birth date. And it just looks like all of her kids died. You know? It just looks like...
That's... Yikes. Who did that? You don't have to say their name.
Which one would you think I'd be talking about?
Yeah, I know who did that. That's rough. Oh, that's right. Okay, so Lee and Alan and Andre become friends, and they're like,
"I'm in a weird mood today."
They're rocking around the prison, just being homies, right?
Sure.
And they said, "You know what? We got to break out of this joint." Like so many prisoners.
This is a bank robbery and a prison break episode.
So on August 11th,
he's got a date, folks. Anytime Tim says a real date, this episode's about to take a turn. All right. And it's either going to be something super fun or it's going to be they saw a glow in the sky. You know what I'm saying? And he goes on August 11th.
I wish they got abducted by aliens straight out of the prison.
Stupid, dude.
That would be such a good twist. All right. Forget it. I'm changing the story. On August 11th,
1983. We're just going to lie. All right. So on August 11th.
August 11th, 1983.
Okay.
Lee and Andre and five other inmates, they had a physiotherapy appointment, which is just a physical, basically. Alan Hale did not have the appointment.
Okay.
But they made plans. They said, hey, all of us together, like the physiotherapist, we could overpower her.
Sure.
So we're going to overpower her and we're going to get out of this joint. And Alan, we're going to come back for you. And so they go to this appointment. Right before the moment, the other five inmates that were a part of the plan chickened out. They got cold feet and they were like, we're not going to do it. But Andre and Lee were like, we're going to do it. And so... You
beat her up easy.
So they...
Look how old she is. She's 65. What is she going to do about it?
What is she going to do about it? What's that? What is that from?
I'm going to call her Julianne.
There it is. What's she going to do about it?
Can we call her Julie?
No. We can
do whatever
two
we want.
Syllables.
She can't stop us.
She can't stop us. Standard and Lee, they overpower the physiotherapist.
Okay.
And they just leave. And I don't really understand the security at this prison because all they had to do was overpower the one physiotherapist and then they just got out of the prison.
Okay.
And they left. On the, they go to like a safe house, camp out at the safe house for like a month and they're like, we got to figure out a way to get back and get Alan.
Did they know?
Alan we
did they have connections on the outside or something? Like to where they could go?
I don't know details on that. I do know that they found a safe house to stay at. I would assume that Lee knew somebody. I would assume it was not Standard's connections.
Okay.
It was probably Lee's connection that they used to find a safe house and lay low for like a month.
Yeah. He's like, Andre, do you got any connections? No, they're all cops. So.
Yeah.
The one time I tried to get a friend involved in my crime and I ended up here. So.
Yeah, that was the one time I... You know, floated. It was a soft lob with a full plot. So I guess you could say a hard lob.
sure.
So they camp out for like a month and then they said, okay, we got to go back and get Alan. And so Alan, he had a trade test. And so they were all taking trade courses and he had a trade test. And so he was at a different spot, a different facility within the prison grounds, but a different facility than the normal area.
Yeah.
That was like a little lower security. And he was taking his trade test this day. They came back on October 31st, Halloween Day, 1983.
Dressed as Grimace.
Dressed as Grimace. Hello, we're here for the McDonald's promotional.
We're here for the promotion.
And it's two guys dressed as Grimace, which is a little suspect because Grimace.
Two Grimace.
Two Grimace.
There are two Grimace in the office.
And they are escorting a Hamburglar into the prison. And it was not good taste on McDonald's part doing this promotional.
Yeah,
and they brought
there
burgers.
Was the Hamburglar.
They brought burgers for all the prisoners, but the Hamburglar was cuffed. And he ended up breaking out. He broke all the prisoners at the Hamburglar.
He was easily overpowered.
I know they went into the prison I don't know how they got their way in, but what we do know is they went into the prison. They got their way to where this test was happening.
Okay.
And this is the story we have. All right. Alan is taking his trade test. Taking his test. Right? Just taking the test.
Yeah.
And he feels a tap on the shoulder and he turns around to see Stander standing there. And behind him is Lee with a shotgun. And the guards are laying down on the ground behind him. And he's like, "We got you, buddy." And how they got in there. And they got the guards down. Yeah, they got a shotgun. And all this happened without...
What, are they going in with the shotgun being like,
"Shh, get down. We're trying to surprise our friend."
And the guards are like,
"Oh, okay. Do you want us to hold the phone?" He was so surprised. It got like a million likes on Instagram.
And it goes on TikTok.
TikTok, yeah.
With that song. It's like, da-da-da-da-da-da. It's just like that. And it all of me.
And he turns around and he's like, he hugs him. He starts crying. Yeah. It ends with the guy grading the test. He gets an A+ too.
They get out. They go to a baseball game. The mascot removes his head. It's Stander. And he's like, "We broke you out of prison, buddy.
We broke you out." Yeah. And so they leave. And this prison break was a little bit more higher profile than the last one. So on their way out, what they did is they grabbed one of the prison vans. And hey. They took the prison van off the premises. And they dressed like cops. And for some reason... they didn't have their cop costumes. They didn't have their cop costumes yet. Their costumes. They went to a nearby farm, kidnapped a few people, and told them to call the police. And so the police responded to the kidnapping near the prison, and they overpowered the cops and took their uniforms.
Okay.
And then they took that van and the hostages in the back of the van because they knew, because there was just a prison break, that there was going to be roadblocks all over the place.
Right.
Like trying to find these prisoners that broke out. And they're like, "We got to get out of town, but we're going to keep getting stopped. And so we're going to take this police vehicle. I know all the police words."
Right.
I can the sound
police
like
words.
I can sound like a cop.
Hey, Niner.
Hey, Breaker. License and registration, please.
He's got a gun. Hey, May 18th, we're doing another Tillin' Live at Silver Dollar City in Branson, Missouri. I would really love to see you there. Tickets are available right now at the description of wherever you're listening or watching. There's a ticket link. Your ticket gets you entry to the live show, but it also gets you access to the park for the entire day. So you can come in that morning, enjoy the theme park all day, and then that night, we're shutting down the park with our show. So we can't wait to hang out with you. Please get those fast. We'll see you May 18th in Branson, Missouri.
So they drive from roadblock to roadblock to roadblock.
Sure.
And he rolls down the window. Everyone's in the back. They can't see him. It's a prison van. They're like barred.
He goes
up.
Banana bread. Like, that is the code. Like,
that's a cop. That's a cop. He's a cop. And he just drives right through all these roadblocks. Leaves town, gets out of town. They ditch the van, ditch the hostages in the van. And they left them in there. And then like someone was going to the grocery shopping. They heard the dog barking and they broke the windows open and got him out.
The dog.
The dog.
It's insane how... I don't know. If you see a homeless person and that homeless person has a dog and you go, "Oh, I hate that."
Yeah.
"That poor dog." You have a problem in your brain.
Yeah. 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 That's rough. So they drove outside of the city. They laid low for a couple months, and then they went to a new town called Houghton Estate.
Okay.
Usually simply called Houghton. It's like a suburb of Johannesburg. And they
started, "What do you guys want to do?"
They're like, "Yeah, what do we..."
Like, "What do we always want to do?
What are your interests? You guys want to go bowling?" You like bowling?
Are we going to rob the bowling alley? What?
Yeah, bowling alleys.
No, what if we just went bowling? Okay.
And then they go, and the guy's like, when do we get to shoot at stuff?
Gets a perfect 300.
He's just freaking crushing it.
Turns around, he's like,
I'm bored. I'm so bored.
They don't even have little animations or anything.
Yeah, it's too like, for that.
Oh, you got a turkey.
And yeah, it looks very sad. And then they said, you know what?
We should rob a bank.
So they start robbing banks together.
Nothing gives you that high.
It's nothing. There's nothing like it. There's nothing like it. So they start robbing banks
together. There's nothing quite like robbing a good bank.
And you know what's the irony? Is that's what banks feel too. They're just robbing all of us.
Dude, bank employees are so bored.
They're so bored.
They're just sitting there all day being like, gosh, I wish someone would rob us.
All I've done all day is just numbering.
Tell someone you're a banker. Yeah. Hey, I'm a banker. First question they ask, you ever been robbed?
You ever been bank robbed?
That's the only thing people care about for your stupid existence.
Yeah. Your job is the same as a 7-Eleven cashier and everybody else's. Okay, that's the only question they ask.
Okay. So.
Okay.
I was in Nashville this weekend. Okay. And I live in Los Angeles. There's people who have hope and dreams and they're like, I'm an actor. And you're like, hey, just bring me the garlic bread. Don't get into it. Right. And you're like, I didn't ask. I don't want any of this. Yeah. Just do your current job.
Yeah.
Right. I get it. I followed my dreams, but I shut up about it. You know what I'm saying? Like I just did the work and I wasn't always like,
yeah.
Nashville. Here's the thing about actors and musicians.
Yeah.
Actors can work a normal job. You know, and then go audition for stuff and fail in peace.
Yeah.
Okay.
Fail in peace.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if you don't get the audition, no one knows you went for it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's just like you end up sadly watching a lot of shows on Netflix and being like, I read that script.
Could have been there.
And it does work out. I'm not saying don't follow your dreams. I'm saying, you know, if it doesn't work out, no one knows
you tried. Yeah.
In Nashville, that is not the case. Every stinking place you go has some guy with an acoustic guitar singing Taylor Swift covers in the corner.
Just trying.
You can't walk into a 7-Eleven without some guy in the corner being like, Romeo, take me somewhere I can be on. And you're like, hey, man. You know, anyway, I just had a small little.
Did you see someone playing in a 7-Eleven?
They were outside the 7-Eleven.
It's the same. Yeah. Oof.
But they didn't. How do I describe that?
They weren't good.
They weren't good. No, they weren't like a homeless person.
Yeah. They were just trying. Yeah.
And then at the airport this morning, I was eating breakfast. It's 7 a.m. at the airport. Yeah. And there's a musician on stage. Mm-hmm. In the airport.
And there's another guy who had just walked through security, opened up his guitar case, and it was a rifle. And he's like, oh, shoot, wrong guitar case.
Oh, no.
It's a forgotten firearm. Yeah. So
please check your carry-on luggage.
Please check the insides of your guitars. There might be a gun in the body of it.
Something doesn't sound right.
It sounds real metallic.
Oh, man.
So they get back into bank robbery, the three of them together. And now they're looking a little bit more like bank robbers, but they have rules. And Stander puts these rules together. And the rules are simple. No violence.
Always be stealing.
Don't forget your ABCs. Always be stealing.
No violence.
No violence. Don't take hostages. Never show your gun. And here's my favorite rule, no yelling. And that was the way they robbed banks.
We're going to take a new approach. We're going to do a new thing called ASM armed robbery. armed robbery.
Hold on.
Hey, what are you doing? Jeez.
They come in and they come up to the teller. Put your head right here. Hold on. Put your head right here.
I'll punch you in the face.
Put your head right here. Put your, it's gonna be great. Put your head right here.
I can hear you.
Yeah, put your head right here. Put your head in the middle. It's for the
Don't ever grab the back of my head like that. Don't ever do that to me again.
Okay, that's fine. I'll, put your head right there.
I'm here.
To the teller. Okay, you have to put your mic there though. All right, they walk up to the teller and they say,
"Hey, this is a sticker."
And the teller's like, "What?" Because it's 83. ASMR hasn't happened yet. These guys were ahead of their time.
Have you ever touched the back of my head again? I'm going to get these tattoos for real.
Anyways, I like the idea of ASM armed robbery. That's
pretty cool. I thought that was enough of that joke, and then you were like, "Oh, that's great! I got a good bit to do with this. Come here." So it's gentle parenting.
It's gentle. They're very gentle about these robberies. but they started making bank now. Because Alan and Lee were like, "Hey, you know, you don't have to just like rob. Like you could rob." And so they start like bringing some cash. And we don't know exactly how much they're pulling. But they start to build a reputation for themselves. And the media starts to call them the Standard Gang. They name them after the cop.
So they know it's him.
Oh yeah, they know for sure that it's him because it's just got his fingerprints all over it, right?
Sure.
Because he's not wearing any gloves, and so they buy like an estate.
Do you think I could go into a bank with this?
Yeah.
Rob a bank? I thought that this morning actually before I even knew this was a bank robber episode. You think I can rob a bank and then wash them off?
And then be like, "Yeah, I don't have any tattoos. It can't be me."
That's what I'm saying.
I think they would be like, "Yeah, we know about temporary tattoos, dude."
And I'd be like,
"What?
What are you talking about?
What are you talking about? You would have to go get a tattoo."
But that's what I'm saying is that this is
we've heard of getting
scalable. You could do this again.
Oh yeah, you're right. You're right. I have thought about that. Like if I like witness a murder because I have tattoos. I'd be like, I'd have to do that blackout thing where like you just black out your whole arm. Cause I'm like, I'm too red. Like people could see this. If you don't have this, you're like, "Oh, like I just look like that guy. I'm not the guy who saw you murder
witness
that
a
guy."
Murder?
Yeah. Like if you go into witness protection
Then
that person came across you again and you have the tattoos.
So you're saying that anybody we see with a blacked out arm, we should go up and go, "What did you see?
Did you see something?"
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
or just go up to him and be like, "I know what you saw." And then walk away.
That's so much worse. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what they saw. They look back through their whole life. And
actually,
like,
you know what? Do that to anybody. Do that to anybody.
They saw nothing.
Go to someone at the store and just go, "I know what you saw.
I know what you saw." And then they, for the rest of their life, have been, "What did they know that I saw? What did I see that they know about me seeing?"
So they're making a lot of money.
They're making
the Stater game.
They buy an estate. They buy sports cars. They've got champagne flowing.
Like, how are they
estate.
Just getting away with it though?
So they opened up a souvenir business. So they opened up a company that sells souvenirs.
Okay.
And the employees were getting sketched because they were like, "This souvenir business is making a lot more money than we're."
No one's here.
Yeah, we're selling postcards, and these guys are driving Ferraris.
How's the postcards doing today?
We're moving a lot of cards. So yeah, they set up a front that they're laundering all the money through.
Okay.
And it's the people know it's them. It's named after the main guy. And so this gig doesn't last very long for them. On January 30th, 1984.
Because it's named after him.
Yeah.
Then, you know, the police obviously know that he got out of jail.
Yes.
Okay.
So on January 30th, 1984, like 4 months later.
Sure.
There's a police raid on their little gang hideout. And Alan and Stander managed to get away. but Lee does not. Lee is killed in the raid. And Alan and Stan, they run. Alan runs to Greece, and then England, and then Spain, and back to England. Eventually, he's caught and he's tried and he's sentenced to 9 years in prison. And he gets another related like firearms charge. And he serves his time in the UK, and he ends up getting extradited back to South Africa, and eventually gets a parole and was released on prison in 2005. And he writes a book called Bank Robber. He becomes a motivational speaker.
I mean, there's not a lot of routes you can go.
So he lived happily ever after until 2020. He passed away in April of 2020. That's Alan's story.
Okay.
Stander, on the other hand, he ran to Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
Where he currently operates the Bubba Gump Shrimp Company.
He gets to Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and he is like, hey, I bet I could rob some banks here. So he starts robbing banks again. He gets himself a Fort Lauderdale mansion. He gets himself some sports cars. He gets himself a yacht called the Lily Rose. And he was in communication with Alan. This is all happening while Alan's on the run in Europe. He's in communication with Alan, and he's like, Lily Rose, I'll get the yacht. I'll come pick you up. We're going to go to some island somewhere, and we're going to own an island. Yeah. And we're going to like sail off into the sunset, you and me, on the Lily Rose.
Yeah.
So he's now in the States. It's not that long after. It's February 10th. He just got a brand new Mustang.
February 10th of 1984. So yeah, it's only February been like 10th. 2 weeks.
Yeah. He got himself a brand new Mustang. Didn't register. It's an unregistered Mustang that he bought from a dealership.
Sure.
Gets pulled over and the cop arrests him for driving an unregistered vehicle. He has a fake ID. He's running with a fake name, still wearing his mustache and his little hair thing. Like, you know, living like he's this fake person. He said his career was an author. He was an author in Australia. which, I mean...
I write books, mate.
I mean, this is a pretty author look.
Yeah, I write books.
Name one of your books.
The Hobbit.
That was you? The Hobbit was big in the 80s.
That's what I'm saying.
That was you?
Yeah. You want me to sign your copy? The cop goes back to his police officer to his cop car to get his copy.
He carries of the it Hobbit. In his squad car.
And he goes, "You're J.R.R. Tolkien."
And it's on his ID. It's fake ID.
his fake ID says J.R.R. Tolkien.
Yeah, it's me. J.R.R. Tolkien.
That's me. 21. 21.
That's my real ID. You can't cut it up. Now let me into this bar. the police end up arresting him for driving this unregistered vehicle.
Sure.
But because the Americans didn't know about the Stander gang. This wasn't like an international syndicate. It was a local South African thing. And so they thought his ID was accurate. They thought it was really him. He posts bail and he leaves, but they impounded his car. So he was like, "That's my Mustang.
He's like, I got to break my car out."
And so he
looks at his car and goes, "I'll be back for you."
So he waits until the car's taking a test and he jumps the fence into the impound lot, takes the car, and then... the music starts.
I came back for you.
It's Tim in the car driving around town. So he takes the car back to the dealer. And he asks them for a fresh paint job. And so he gets a new paint job on the Mustang, which is so sketchy.
Yeah, all right. Let's imagine the salesman. You've just talked a guy.
Into selling you a car.
You just let a guy
buy a car from you. And you did not
talk you into selling him a car. You feel defeated.
So defeated.
And then that guy comes back 2 days later. Like, he's taking the victory lap. Okay, God, yeah, all right, yeah. You got me to sell it to you. And he goes, "I want you to change its color." That's the equivalent of if I put a bunch of fake tattoos on and then wash them off. It's the same thing.
So he leaves it there, the dealer, and they're repainting it. And so he borrows a bicycle from the dealer, and he's riding the bike everywhere he goes.
That's what their courtesy car was. He bought a brand new Mustang, cash. And then he brings it back and is willing to pay money to get this color changed. And they can't spare a Ford Focus. They can't give him nothing.
They got a freaking...
They go, here's actually one of our salesman's bicycles.
They got a little plate on the back.
Shut that up, says, James. You're walking home.
And so he...
gets pulled over.
He's riding around on the bike. Everywhere he goes. And somehow word gets back to the local police that they think Stander is in town. And so the police start doing some digging. They figure out that he just bought this home. And so they go and they raid his home. And he's not there because he's out cycling.
Biking.
And so he's out cycling one day and he happens upon this police raid. And as he comes around the corner and he sees it. And he turns around and starts trying to bike away. But one of the cops...
Oh, my bad.
Officer Michael Van Statina sees him.
Statina?
Yeah, because he's running the perimeter. He sees him and he recognizes him. And he's like, hey, get off that bike. And he chases him down.
And he goes, no English, mate.
No, I don't speak. I speak Australian,
I don't speak
mate.
English.
I'm from Australia,
I don't know a word in English. Please quit talking to me in English. I don't know that language. I wish you would quit saying so many words in English, a foreign language to me. I'm just out for a piece of bike ride, my foreign self.
I'm from Australia, mate. Do you have a book you want me to sign?
Yes, it is me, famous author J.R.R. Tolkien. I love that we're doing this as the bike right now. Uh-huh. And Valencia or whatever is like running. They're just like, come on, man. And he's like,
pull over.
Ding, 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 ding.
So they end up getting in this altercation or wrestling. Stander reaches for a shotgun. And in the hustle and bustle, it goes off and shoots him in the stomach. And he ends up bleeding out and dying from his injuries.
Jeez. Okay. Well, I'm glad we did a whole stupid little bicycle bit first.
Robber.
I wish you had we should use a code word for when you're about to be like, hey, I'm about to drop this guy.
He's about to be a death.
Yeah. He's about
in
to
the
die.
Story. Yeah.
He's about to die like the uncle in Spider-Man. So maybe chill out.
Uncle Ben. I don't speak English. More and more in Australian police. Somebody,
come here real close. Listen to me. I don't speak a word of English.
I have no idea what you're saying.
All these years, I'm just not in my head.
I've just been winging it.
It took me 7 months of Duolingo to learn how to say this statement. This
sentence that I'm saying to you right now. And this is going to end my streak.
I don't think. Son, just always know that I loaf for you.
What?
He doesn't know the word for love. Oh, it's a loafa.
Oh, loafa. Okay, yeah.
He's got close.
He's close. Yeah, he's trying. Yeah.
He's just heard it.
He's just read it. And so he's guessing. Loafa.
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 I loafa.
Yeah. I get it. Okay, keep going.
You got it? That was it. He died.
He dies right then and there. He says, please keep my streak alive. I only got two more freezes. I need you. Yeah, so he dies.
Spider-Man goes, Uncle Ben.
No.
I'll never forget.
Oh my gosh. It's ridiculous.
You just got your whole family
just waiting for them to die.
I'm crying.
So, so yeah, that's Stander. Here's his Fort Lauderdale. This was from when he got arrested for the car thing.
Okay.
And then in 2005, a movie was made called Stander that looks like it was made in 83.
Who's the actor?
Tom Jane is a good cop, great criminal. Stander. And so this came out in 2005. He was obviously the main character, big hero in the story.
Yeah.
And very much followed the storyline of hated the apartheid, so wanted to stick it to the government and rob some banks. It's pretty clear that the guy just liked robbing, like money, probably.
Kind of
like wanted some money. Yeah, liked the thing. There's some theories out there that he, like, because he was in the military for a second, was a part of like a pretty major operation, and that he comes like missed the thrill of war.
Yeah,
so he's like, I'm gonna rob some banks. But here's the thing: his bank robberies weren't like war-y. Like he could have had like war-y bank robberies, but he had like. Mary,
what would a Rory bank? What would a Rory bank robbery be like?
Rory bank robberies are like those ones like with
toss grenades.
Yeah,
like
you're wearing crap. Like clown masks.
Frick!
Oh no!
You survived a freaking Leviathan.
Hey, that's probably out by now.
It is out. That's what I was trying to plug. Hey, Tim wrote a war novel when he was in high school.
Famous author J.R.R. Tolkien.
He wrote a war novel. It's called. Through the Eyes of Sergeant Winslow, and it is available for digital download in our merch store.
Yeah, we took it in its original state.
Truly terrible.
It's so good.
There's no plot. There's no real beginning, middle, or end.
That's true. That part is true. Yeah. But there's some great combat. Some great combat.
If you want to hear a 14-year-old kid secondhand stories of Call of Duty. You're going to love it.
It's great. Yeah. It's a good read. Check it out.
So that's available in our, there's a link in our description for that as well.
Yeah. So he became, there's this kind of like folk hero situation of him being like the cop who like solved his own crimes and like was doing all the stuff. And,
but really he was just criming.
He was a criminal. And there's a like dark side to him. He's painted as like a hero, right?
Yeah.
He got very into the criminal lifestyle, even though he wasn't doing like, it was like a 7-year period in his life. And part of it was spent in prison. And really the first part was kind of quiet. Like he was like, it was as close to white collar crime as you could be without being white collar, you know?
Right.
But when he got back out of prison, like they got into like the lifestyle. And so they would have like the escorts and like there were some not so great stories that came out of him coercing women into different things. So not a good guy. And a lot of people.
No one's hero.
No one's. Yeah, yeah. He should be someone you look up to. And there's a lot of people who paint him like someone who's like a hero, but he's not. He's
like
a bad guy.
Like a fight the man kind of guy, but he wasn't.
He wasn't that.
He just liked crime.
That was his cover. In his legal case, and it didn't work. That's Andre Stander. Good cop, great criminal.
Cool. Wow. Anyways. The bit of tattooing your name, that's
ridiculous. Yeah.
My voice is kind of rough today.
My voice is rough.
But it got me good. Like I was laughing at that.
Yeah, that's really funny. Good. We need to fiddle this off. We didn't fiddle at all.
Oh. Hey, thanks for checking out this episode. If you like this story and you want another bank robber story, we have another episode about a guy named Anthony Curcio who robbed a bank with a pretty crazy plan. And you can hear how it all came together and how it all fell apart. So that episode is linked in the description wherever you're watching or listening. And if you want next week's episode, you're like, oh man, I've already listened to the whole back catalog. I've already watched all your videos. I need more now. You know, that's awesome. We already have next week's episode available to our Patreon supporters. That link is also in the description, or you can text Tillin to 666-666-866. The devil almost got me.
Tillin.
Text Tillin to 66866. You can get all the stuff that I just mentioned. But we'll see you next Tuesday for another episode.